You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To our loving and honorable pastor, amen. Pastor Charles Twyman,
yes, sir.
As he prepared to celebrate 38 years of service. Let me say this to you. We know what our obligations are as they are stated in the bulletin. But the scripture keeps coming to mind to me in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 17. It states, so it's, let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. We have a pastor that labors in the word to enrich our souls for the cause of Christ. We make extraordinary sacrifices. I witnessed that last month with the funerals that took place and he having major knee surgery. But he pressed his way out to encourage the families in pain. But he did it because he knew with his presence, he would be a blessing and comfort to the families that were mourning that he shepherds. But it's challenging to me, a pastor like ours that labors in the word of God and has a genuine concern for people and good, meet your obligations of $100. But gee whiz, if you save $1 for 1 year, that's $365. You save $1 a day. So I said to myself, Lord, I got to honor the man of God. And I made a commitment that I would not give less than $1,000 to our pastor because he deserved it. And I love and I respect him. And I pray that this is the mindset of all the preachers of this church, as well as the deacons of this church. Let us honor. I said honor the man of God. Yes, Lord. I'm not saying that because I'm standing up here preaching. He didn't have to let me have this opportunity to do that. But I thank God that he's blessed Reverend Register. And I thank God for that. He's blessed my family. My life is better because of him, and I love and I thank him. Pastor, you're deserving of all God's gift. God bless you. And yes, to all the preachers, that didn't cost you nothing. To all the preachers and to all the deacons, all the saints of God, I greet you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I hope I haven't killed you too much with that. But that's what it's about, being a blessing to the man of God. Yes. If you will, you get your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Yeah. The Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Oh, okay. All right. God's word is true and right. We're living in a time where there are those that are looking for an alternative to God's word. The word of God is true and is right. It's infallible. It is, in fact, the lifeline of every individual that's living upon the face of the earth. God's word. And without it, there is no avenue to heaven. I'll say that again. Without it, there is no avenue to heaven. From the gospel reading from the King James Version, 6 verses, beginning at verse 1. Listen at Jesus in his appeal. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, yes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, yes, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Listen to this last 2 verses, 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus emphatically declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Powerful, powerful words of God. And from these passages of scripture, especially verse 5 and 6, we lift our theme: living or existing, life or death, salvation or condemnation. Yes, yes, it's paramount that we make a conscious decision concerning who we will or will not serve. It's your choice. No one is going to take you out to the guillotine or outside to a firing squad. We're not going to open your head up and pour it into your brain. It's a choice that you must make. Listen. Yes, Lord. All of us know people who are living unproductive lives. Our society is filled with people who offer, yes, Lord, little or no positive productivity to the well-being for themselves, their family, their occupation, nor society in general. Yes, yes, yes. We know people like that. They are just existing. Yes, yes, yes. You take note of this, if you will. A leech sucks blood from a host It takes nutrients without leaving its host anything beneficial in return. Like leeches, unproductive people take, but they do not give. Yes, yes, yes. We got a society filled with people with this attitude. We're all about getting our own. We want to live the life we talk about and talk about the life we live without rendering anything in return. Just striving for what you can get out of a person. Yes, yes, yes. And in the church, yes, Lord, have mercy. We come Sunday after Sunday looking for what we can get out of the church, to critique the choir, critique the preacher, and whether or not he preaches well or he stirs my soul. But can I drop a dime on you? I'm not here to light your fire. Yeah, you should have came in with your fire. What you talking about? Yes, when I come to church on Sunday morning, I'm not looking for the pastor to make me feel good. I'm looking for help for my spiritual growth and my spiritual walk. This is not about entertaining. Yes, 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 yes. Lord, but what I get from God's word that I can take home and apply for the week, but you ought to come with your own fire. Listen, yes, yes, yes. In contrast to those who just exist and take, one of the ways God will bless you is by making your life productive. He will enable you to do more, yes, with your life than just exist. He will enable you to make a life worth something. And that God-given Christian living power. Now, what's the difference between living and existing? I'm glad you asked me that question, because some of you scholars, you're saying there, shall living is existing, existing is living. But if you investigate a little closer, you'll find out that existing is merely breathing and doing daily chores, along with the measure of control you have in your daily life of pleasure. Yes, yes, you see people like that all the time, going to have their vacation, going to their tropical places of comfort and convenience, going to work on a religious basis, days after days after days, and only to come home each evening, get your meal, sit down in front of your favorite TV show, and go to sleep and get up and do the same thing over and over again. Striving for an appointed vacation, but never striving for productivity. Yes, yes. Order my steps, Lord. Living is doing the will of God. Living, yes, is fulfilling particular goals. Doing what is essential and right morally and spiritually. By striving, get this now, by striving for the citizenship and edification of the kingdom of God. Yes, it is. I'm right about it. Oh, yes. Glory to God. What you talking about, Reverend Register? Preach it. Yes, Lord. Listen. Psalms denotes for us. Get this now in that first chapter of Psalms, those six verses, reading from the New Living Translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockeries. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbanks. Boy, I sure want a sidebar there, but let me keep on going. Listen, bearing fruit each season. They're bearing fruit each season. They're living a productive life, a fruitful life. Fruitful how? Ministering for the cause of Christ, touching the hearts and minds of those that are lost. Got family members on their way to hell, and we're looking to live the good life. Got nephews, nieces, uncles, fathers that are on their way to hell, and we're pursuing vacations. Yes, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, the world is in disarray, chaos. You see it every day. Yes, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Listen what it says. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless shafts scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So, this Psalms denotes the life of two roads. The life of the faithful, contrasted by the life of the faithless. It points to their results. The way of the righteous prospereth, and the end of the ungodly, condemnation. I tell you, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What about your state, or the state of your soul? Will it be stubble? Will it be hay? Or will it be precious stones? This is the key when we're talking about living, yes, for the cause of Christ and those who are just existing. I believe every person should pursue a quality life and education. Entrepreneurship, they should pursue these things. The development of professional careers plays a major role in your achievements. Yes, but you cannot live. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You can't, Lord, have mercy. You cannot leave, let me put it like this. You can't leave God out. You can't live any kind of way and leave God out. God is the primary foundation for a prosperous life. Can I appeal to you just a little bit? Solomon, yes, Lord Jesus, a man of great wealth and wisdom. Read it sometime. I'm going to give you a few verses here. Solomon denotes that life is meaningless apart from God. Listen to what he says in the New Living Translation. Verses 1, 2, and 3. These are the words of the teacher. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. King David's son, Solomon, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. Listen to Solomon. What do people get from all their hard work under the sun? Now you skip over to that second chapter and that first verse. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasures. Let's look for the things in life, the materialism, the material concept. But I found that this too was meaningless. Rich, one of the richest men of his time, Solomon conducted his search for life's meaning, but as he looked at everything he had worked so hard for, he concluded it was all meaningless. Is your goals in life to pursue wealth? Yes, and meaning, or to pursue God who gives wealth and meaning. Listen to what he says in that 12th chapter, 13 and 14. Let us, from the King James Version, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen at Jesus, if you will, in Mark, the 8th chapter, the 36 and 37th verse. This is parallel with Solomon's observation in Ecclesiastes. He asked the question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can I appeal to you? Your soul is the most precious commodity you have. Jesus came into the world and died for souls. Yes, he did. We ought to think about this when we consider our lives. Are you just existing, or are you concerned about the state of your soul and the soul of your family members? That's what the church is all about. You see, he concluded that everything temporal must be seen in light of eternal living. Possessions, yes. Position, wealth, and power are ultimately worthless and temporary and cannot be exchanged for your soul. Are you willing to make God first in your life and not earthly possession? These things are for those who just exist. Follow and trust Jesus. He will teach you what it means to live abundantly now in this life and in the life to come. Our text denotes Jesus in discourse with his disciples. He's having them to understand, I know you've been relying on me. I know you've been trusted in me. I know you've seen me perform miraculous miracles. But Jesus see that his disciples were bewildered and discouraged because Jesus told them about his departure. He told them, yes, Lord, yes, that he would die. Yes, one of his disciples was a traitor. Peter would disown him 3 times, and Satan was at work against all of them, and that all the disciples would abandon their posts. The accumulated weight of these revelations caused them great depression and anxiety. Sometimes on this Christian journey, Christian ministry can be overwhelming. The people you love and minister to backstab you. Your family are in opposition with you and hoping you fail or stop. Yes, members in the church will smile and shake your hand. Yes, they will, but talk against you at the same time just because you're striving to live a faithful and righteous life and to support the pastor of the church, and they assassinate your character. You're smiling and embracing them in love, and to give you a little weak handshake or run in the opposite direction just to avoid you. But when you live, yeah, or you're living your life for the cause of Christ and not just existing, you know you can transcend these obstacles. Glory to the Lamb of God. In this 14th chapter, in those first 4 verses, Jesus gives a divine command. Listen what he says to them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He offers his disciples hope and assurance as well as comfort. If you're going to trust in anybody, it ought to be the one who hung, bled, and died. It ought to be the one that is able to raise up bowed down heads. In that 5th verse, you will discover that this is one of the most important passages in the scripture, because Thomas' statement and question simply reflected a perplexity of the state of mind of the disciples as well as us today. We can't seem to fully understand. Listen, some Christians are like this right now. They don't really know about death. Well, I got news for you. Death is just the threshold to eternal life. And the glory of living with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
I get kind of excited about that. I don't know you, but I love that song. When I see Jesus, amen. Are you looking to see Jesus? Or do you want to stay here in these old deformed bodies? Back aches, knee aches, headaches, sinus trouble, heart problems, worry, frustration, and so on and so on. Watch out, Rebel Register. Yes, Lord. Listen. Lord Jesus. Thomas truly was puzzled. But we got to understand, uniting our lives with Jesus, we unite with God and all the benefits of being God's children. Now, in this sixth verse, Jesus gives an emphatic divine declaration. He gives the I am, yes, the powerful words, I am, listen, that is to be the self-existent God. The I am is always in the present tense and in the indicative active voice. I am. You see, before the world was formed, I am the self-existing God. Before time itself, I am existed. So we see then that Jesus parallels himself with God. Yes, the way, the truth, and the life. All three concepts are active and dynamic. That is the force that stimulates change or progress. Effective action. I am the way which brings us to God. Effective action. I am the truth which makes men free. Effective action. I am the life which produces fellowship. Effective action. Jesus is the gate to God's, yes, salvation for us. He offers, yes, access to safety and security. The way to God's kingdom. So why should we look for an alternative? I tell you, it was Jesus who left his home in glory, traveling down through 42 generations. It was Jesus. I am the way. Thank you, Jesus. He came not for this world, but the souls of this world, that we might have security in him. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Look at Jesus, tabernacled around here for 33 long years. Opened, yes, the eyes of the blind. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Jesus, I tell you, that lily of the valley, that bright and morning star. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. He's able, I tell you, to make the lame walk. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. That same Jesus came here to die for you and I. I'm reminded of the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, I tell you, but now I see. He opened my eyes I tell you, I'm no longer walking upon the earth just existing, but I realize there's hope for tomorrow. There's security in the life after this. Look at Jesus in Gethsemane. The mob crowd took him and marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. That same Jesus never said a mumbling word. They whipped him all night long. They upon a crown of thorns on his brow, marched him up to Calvary, nailed his hands, riveted his feet, hung him between two thieves. He stayed out there on Calvary until that sixth hour, hung his head, gave up the ghost. Oh, glory! They took him down, buried him in a barred tomb. But on the third day morning, that same Jesus got up. He got up with all power.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.